everyone. Welcome to Corderdor with Karen. Now my call, Corderdor with Karen. Welcome to a chat with Karen. I extend a gracious invite to all, from near and from far. Welcome. And tēnā koutou katoa. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about anti-establishment. We've got some music by Justin Bieber and some music by Rag and Bone Man. And there's another one in there. Zombie by the Cranberries. And then if you do happen to make it to the end, don't worry, it's only a half-hour session, okay? I'm going to be finishing up with a proverb. That's really about the crux of it today. So let's just get the show cracking, beginning with one of my favourite artists, Justin Bieber.
Step of the way, here in the struggle, your love's enough to wash it all away. On the third day, yeah, you rose up and you beat death once and for all. Once and for all.
Timeline. Well, there's always a lot, believe me. But I've been reading some talk about people who are feeling what they call politically homeless. Are you politically homeless much? I certainly feel I am. I really don't know who to put my trust in regards government at the moment. I am very suspicious in nature as it is, but at the moment, probably more so than ever. It's reaching a bit of a peak, I would say. Oh, who knows? It could even get worse. I never thought that things would get the way they have at the present moment in terms of the worldly state of affairs, but there we go. So, yeah, when it comes to the term anti-establishment, I would go so far as to say that I am anti-establishment, most certainly at the moment. So what exactly is the view of someone who calls themselves anti-establishment? Well, it is a view which stands in opposition to the conventional social, political and economic principles of a society. The term was first used in 1958 by the British magazine New Statesman to refer to its political and social agenda. And in today's world, anti-establishmentarianism is an expression for such a political philosophy. I think before delving any deeper on this already deep topic, let's look at the role of an establishment first. And for the purpose of this discussion, I'm going to define the thing of today's society that is, for the most part, in charge of the establishment, and that is the government. The reason a government is put in place, and this is according to Wiki Google, so make of it what you will, is in order to provide the parameters for everyday behaviour for citizens. Okay, this is the role of a government. Provide the parameters for everyday behaviour for citizens, protect them from outside interference, and this one is really good, provide for their well-being and happiness. Why, thank you so much, Ms. Ardern. I just would not be the happy person I am without your input. Anyway, sorry, excuse that. That was unnecessary. Moving on. What was it? The big issue that I have with this as well, it's this. Governments, monarchies, empires, however you like to label it. Well, for me, the problem is, and it's kind of a big problem, they just don't seem to work. And history has proven this to us time and time again. So then the next big question, I guess, comes to why is it then that these government systems, these establishments, why don't they work? I believe the main problem is that elections-based political systems operate with short-term mentalities, with officials often thinking only a few years ahead. As societies around the world become complex, diverse, demanding and connected, governments have become even more incentivized to implement superficial patchwork fixes. Pride is another issue very much at play within the political world of power and control. This type of thinking is actually very selfish and not to mention immoral. Sacrificing the long term for the short term, for example, allowing infrastructure to deteriorate, adding billions of dollars in national debt to enable tax cuts, or the felling and burning old growth forests in favour of plantations will eventually catch up to us. You can go on like that for a long time, but when the system does break, it'll break big. And that's according to Angela Wilkinson, Senior Director of the World Energy Council. So I'm still undecided whether it's the actual establishment itself or those in charge of it. I personally think that humans are too, how do I put this? flawed to have that much power. And history has proven this to us. I just don't think we're responsible enough. Unless we are following some sort of responsible moral higher power, then it's just not going to work. And most of us aren't doing that these days. And even when we were, we stuffed up. Look at King Solomon. Look at King Saul. Look at all the kings that were supposedly, you know, righteous, following the good path, and they still stuffed it up. I don't know. Too much power. It's never a good thing. Right, guys, we've already at the 6 minute mark, and so I'm going to break the rambling up with a song called Zombie by the Cranberries. continuing on with our discussion of anti-establishment, just before we crack into part two of this, I just wanted to just reinforce what exactly an establishment is, because I'm not sure if I made that very clear in the first part. So an establishment, according to the, I just Googled it now, the Collins Dictionary, which is a good one, pretty sound definitions in that one, was referred to, excuse me, still recovering a bit there from the COVID last month. I'm fine, by the way. I'm a survivor, all is well. So, establishment, Collins Dictionary, the social, economic, and political leaders as of a nation regarded as holding the chief measure of power and influence. That's how they describe establishment. Interesting. I find words interesting because an establishment is also described as a business, organisation, public institution, or household. And that was something I found in the Oxford Dictionary. Anyway, so let's move on to our anti-establishment part two discussion. So the next question would be, can our current establishment be fixed? Is there any way we can create an establishment that is actually functional, that works? Many experts believe that a radical reform to this system is not only desirable but absolutely necessary. One way to improve governance, business expert Angela Wilkinson says, may be shifting from state-centric government to polycentrism, meaning a lack of central control. That word control keeps coming up over and over again, power. So we need to sort of, it's almost like she's saying take the power away a bit. Spread it out. And that would require common guiding principles to assure cooperation and prevent one force from dominating, and joint efforts toward common goals. The resulting system, Wilkinson says, would be vibrant, dynamic, diverse, and imperfect, but ultimately a system that would unite everyone under a shared vision. Another expert, Oxford University fellow Nayef L. Rodhan, head of the Geopolitics and Global Futures Program at the Geneva Centre for Security Policy, says, geez, that was a bit of a mouthful, that one. Democracy is an evolving creature and it needs to get better with time. If governments do not change with the times, they become less and less capable of addressing people's needs and citizens grow more dissatisfied and disenfranchised. When designing an ideal government, L. Rodhan firmly believes another key is championing dignity as an essential part of reform. And I love this. I love this idea. He describes in his book called, okay, you might want to write this one down, Sustainable History and the Dignity of Man. That's written by Nayef L. Rodhan. So he describes that a way of championing dignity is making sure that human emotion and morality and egotism never outweigh 9 core criteria. And these are 1, reason, 2, security, 3, human rights, 4, accountability, 5, transparency, 6, justice, 7, opportunity, 8, innovation, and 9, inclusiveness. I personally think this is a wonderful model, and I would be intrigued to see it in action in New Zealand. Theory goes that even if just some of these things are missing, the system will likely perform poorly or even fail entirely. This is actually already happening in even seemingly stable democracies. In the United States, for instance, 43 million people currently live in poverty, or about 14% of the population, compared to 11% in 1973, and I believe that was done in 2014, so I presume that that number's gone up. That's neither morally nor socially acceptable, L. Rodhan says. He believes it may also be dangerous because in time those people may well rebel and cause problems because they have absolutely nothing to lose. Experts believe this doesn't mean that we should abolish government altogether. They say that no significantly sized society has ever functioned well without government. But while there are some promising examples of progress, most governments today, including in Europe and North America, are not good enough. Al Rotten adds, despite ensuring political freedoms for their citizens, many people remain disenfranchised due to unacceptable and widening inequality. Even if a particular leader or entire society wishes to change for the better, they often fall short of their goals. Egypt's Arab Spring failed to break the gridlock and restructure government, for example. And in South Africa, well, they never became the rainbow nation that Nelson Mandela envisioned. Another one of the issues is, according to business experts, or many business experts, is that governments tend to be innovation averse. They wait for the market to lead the way and then scramble to catch up. When they are made, decisions are implemented across the whole of society without prototyping or testing ideas on smaller populations first. You cannot use the word experiment in government. It's a nasty word because it means you can fail, Angela Wilkinson says. But we cannot wait for things to be perfect, and we can't keep using yesterday's solutions. And that is so true. Some countries are beginning to break the mould. In Canada, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced that experimentation will be the norm for making database decisions. I'm not sure what to make of some of his political agendas and visions. But hey, all credit for taking a risk. And France's President Emmanuel Macron has carved out a budget for conducting research on how to better run the government. And the United Arab Emirates has also committed 1% of all public spending to innovation. So as you can see from this discussion, it's obvious that people's expectations are rising and that governing people is getting more and more difficult. Business as usual just doesn't function anymore, and it's obvious that it's time to start changing how society is managed. So listeners out there, do you have any thoughts on this matter? Do you think the time has come for a total overhaul of the establishment? Well, I most certainly do. But you already knew that, didn't you?
Champagne every day till I go home. Keep on singing, keep singing the same old song. You ain't got nothing, still don't know right from wrong. I got cocaine on my table. Keep on singing the same old song. Boy, you ain't got nothing if you still don't know right from wrong.
guys, we have reached the end of Corduroy with Karen for another month, and I'm going to leave you with a proverb. It's called Lady Wisdom, and that's about it. So here we go. Proverbs 8. Listen, wisdom is calling. Yes, understanding is shouting for us. Wisdom stands at the top of the hill, by the road where the paths meet. She is near the entrance to the city, calling from the open gates. I am calling out to all of you. I am speaking to everyone. You who are ignorant, learn to be wise. You who are foolish, get some common sense. Listen, I have something important to say, and I am telling you what is right. My words are true, and I will not say anything that is wrong. Everything I say is right. There is nothing false or crooked about it. These things are clear to any intelligent person. They are right to anyone with knowledge. Choose discipline over silver, and knowledge over the finest gold. Wisdom is better than pearls, and nothing you desire compares with her. I am wisdom. I live with good judgment. I am at home with knowledge and planning. To respect the Lord means to hate evil. I hate pride and boasting, evil lives and hurtful words. I have good advice and common sense to offer. I have understanding and power. With my help, kings rule and governors make good laws. With my help, leaders govern and important officials make good decisions. I love those who love me, and those who look for me will find me. And that was Proverbs 8, found in the Bible, 1 through to 17. That's all from me, everyone. See you later. Ka kite anō.
Listening to Kōrero with Karen. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to tune in to Planet FM at 104.6 every fourth Wednesday at 10 past 2 in the afternoon. Or check it out anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/Kōrero with Karen. That's Karen with a